Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to former chair of the Democratic Party, Mike Tate, and former Republican Representative Scott Klug of the Democracy Defense Project for joining me to talk about a couple of basic election reforms here in the state of Wisconsin that would do so very much to increase voter confidence in our election systems. Of course, we should start at least opening our absentee ballots and getting them out of the envelopes and verifying signatures and addresses before Election Day. And of course, there should be legislation to uniformize the rules around drop boxes in every single jurisdiction and municipality. I mean, duh. It doesn't have to be this hard. Folks, just a little update on the Milwaukee Brewers. It is the top of the fourth inning. It remains 4-1. Ladies and gentlemen, Jake Bowers is on the mound. There is one out, and there are two men on base. Sal Frelick starting the Brewers off this inning with a single, followed up by 5'7", Caleb Durbin. Man, is he a cute little one, isn't he? 5'7", just a little pint-size baseball player. He's singled as well, so you got men on first and the second. Jake Bowers at the plate, only one out here in the bottom or top of the fourth inning. Folks, I want to spend the next segment talking about Supreme Court candidate Maria Lazar, but we've got one of our longtime listeners and callers on the line who wanted to get his two cents in. If you would like to do the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to be talking about Judge Lazar's eyebrow-raising, head-scratchingly tone-deaf display of ignorance on a right-wing talk radio show late last week. We're going to get there in a moment, but let's hear from Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, what's going on, brother? What you want to share with us this afternoon?
Well, I guess a couple of things. First of all, you're right, longtime listener and participant, going back as far as when the Devil's Advocates were on Civic Media. So,
my esteemed predecessors in this time slot, indeed, sir.
Yes. What I wanted to say is a couple of things regarding these voting proposals. First of all, I do not like the term drop boxes. It's a convenient term, but it's also kind of negative. I would prefer that they be called official ballot collection boxes, which is what they are.
Yes.
And the second thing is, I'm wondering if, you know, if this whole reform gets scuttled, I'm wondering if it isn't legal to start counting the ballots as early as midnight on election day. That is to say that, you know, the midnight hour before, or 12:01 before the polls even open.
I believe that is actually what is happening. I will have to go and verify. That's a great question, Jack. But my understanding is that they can begin to open the envelopes at 12:01 a.m. It doesn't help that much because of the volume, and especially in 2020, during the COVID period of time where we had just an absolute glut of absentee ballots, that didn't solve the problem. But that's a great question. I love it when listeners give me homework. So I'll find that out for you, Jack. I appreciate you calling and listening, my friend. You be well. Go Brewers. We've now got runners on second and third with two outs. So fingers crossed here. Oh, we scored. It's 4-2, everybody. So I'm going to keep you posted this afternoon. But let us focus and talk a bit about Judge Maria Lazar. She was on Vicki McKenna's show on WISN on October 1st, and she was being asked questions about Supreme Court precedent and when courts should overrule precedent. And she gave a mind-bogglingly bizarre answer. So I want to listen to it, and I'm going to explain to you why what she says here demonstrates her ignorance of critically important legal history, but also American history, And the fact that the case that she's getting wrong is one of the most infamous in our nation's history should cause, again, anyone of good faith, serious pause when we get to our Supreme Court elections in 2026. Take a listen. This is Supreme Court candidate, current Judge Maria Lazar, responding to a question about when courts should overturn longstanding precedent.
That's another problem that we have. I understand that precedent doesn't mean that you never overturn a case. I mean, there are cases, for example, Dred Scott and some other appalling cases that the U.S. Supreme Court issued that deservedly should have been overturned. But there's also a way to do that. And those cases were overturned after decades of being wrong, but being there.
Okay. A bit of American history and American legal history. Dred Scott was the decision in 1857 that the United States Constitution did not extend citizenship to black folks. And so they were not entitled to any of the rights and privileges guaranteed to folks under the Constitution. It is considered to be the worst decision in the history of American jurisprudence, okay? It contains overtly racist language. It is poorly reasoned because effectively you're saying that some human beings aren't human beings and therefore don't get rights. And it basically nationalized slavery, right? Because this was the Supreme Court saying, this is completely fine that a group of people don't have any rights, deserve no protection, and can be treated as property. It led in many ways, shapes, and form to the American Civil War 4 years later. So this is the worst of the worst. And basically, you could ask almost any first-year law student, has the Dred Scott case ever been overturned as precedent? And they all would know that it has never been overturned by the Supreme Court. It was rendered null and void following the Civil War by the 13th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution. But that worst case in American history remains on the books. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice candidate Judge Maria Lazar didn't know that. Here's what she said. I understand that precedent doesn't mean that you never overturn a case. Okay, let me translate the doublespeak there. Yes, the Supreme Court can overturn its prior rulings and decide differently. Think about Roe v. Wade. It was overturned by Dobbs, okay? The judge continues, I mean, there are cases, for example, Dred Scott and some other appalling cases that the U.S. Supreme Court issued that deservedly should have been overturned, but there's also a way to do that. And those cases were overturned after decades of being wrong, but being there. She thinks Dred Scott was overturned. It never was. And when a court, the Supreme Court, does something like declare that certain human beings aren't human and don't deserve rights, those decisions don't deserve to remain for a minute or 5 minutes, let alone decades. But that seems to be a concept escaping Judge Lazar's understanding. And given that we now have a Supreme Court that has declared that presidents are kings, and given that Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff, said yesterday on CNN that the president has plenary authority meaning unlimited, unbounded, unchecked, exclusive authority to deploy the National Guard and by extension the military on the citizenry of the United States, in effect declaring that there should be a dictatorship, again, jet-fueled by the Supreme Court's prior decision declaring the presidents are kings. Judge Lazar's failure to understand perhaps the most important and infamous decision in Supreme Court history, and one of the most important times in American history, is deeply, deeply concerning. Given that Judge Kavanaugh wrote a decision recently that said that it is perfectly acceptable for federal immigration and law enforcement officials to racially profile people as long as race is one of a number of factors. And by the way, all of the other factors were proxies for race. So basically, we're just saying that, yep, you can use race to decide to police people differently than other people. When that same conservative majority of the Supreme Court said that, of course, you can't consider race if we're talking about university admissions, Judge Lazar's failure to understand accurately American history, the history of our Civil War, the history of the 13th and 14th Amendments, and the history of the Dred Scott case, the worst in our nation's history, is absolutely unacceptable. I'm embarrassed for her. And I hope that every voter in Wisconsin comes to know this about Judge Lazar. And I hope that this was simply Judge Lazar misspeaking, not refreshing her recollection, not being careful about her discussion of racism and the history of racism in this country. I hope that's what it was. Because if it wasn't that, then what actually is she saying? Is this some dog whistle to the likes of David Duke and white supremacists in this country? Regardless, whether by misspeak or ignorance, to get this wrong, again, a question that even first-year law students would get right, that many constitutional professors, con law professors, would say, if you can't get this question right on your law school exam, you don't get to graduate from law school because it's that important. But a candidate for this state's Supreme Court would not pass that exam and wouldn't be able to graduate from law school if that was the most basic standard for passage and graduation. A sad moment. When we come back, I want to hear from you. What's your favorite sport? Is it baseball like me, or is it something else? In this Wednesday's edition of Over the Hump and Trump, let's take a breath together. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.